Hello, and welcome to Enough Wicker, a podcast where we try to impress our friends but love ourselves first with our knowledge of our favorite show, The Golden Girls. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're tackling the 17th episode in the series, Nice and Easy.
Ah, yes. The Miami Vice episode is like basically how I would say it to myself when I would watch reruns. I love this one. It's ridiculous, but I love this one. And it's like really, I think, you know, there are so many great lines, but it's also very, I mean, it's very formative speaking directly to a young girl. And I think in the theme of you and I talking about how, like, we didn't realize this show was transforming us into feminists, but also just people who, you know, have self-worth and self-respect. I think there is a really great theme in which Blanche, we get to see Blanche acting as, you know, an aunt in this case, but having that sort of grandmotherly, like, speech that really is like a positive speech of like a positive influence of someone who is not your parent, right? And it's a very different kind of style from who, you know, even though she's still chasing after Lucy from David, as we saw previously. And of course, you mentioned in that episode about like how interesting it is as a male character versus a female character and how different it feels. Because Lucy is supposed to be, what, 20?
20, yeah.
Yeah, and David was 14. So I guess there's a little bit of a difference there. Well, I mean, there's a lot of bit of a difference, let's be honest. But still, it was just, it's just to compare the two was fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I find it much more believable that Lucy, a 20-year-old, could go out and meet people randomly. So I allow that. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I always think of this one. I'm finding myself doing this a lot when I'm going through the first season. I always thought of this one as like kind of a dud, but it's not at all. That was like it's such a weird. But yeah, this show is so incredibly feminist at points, and mm-hmm. I feel like you could do, obviously you would need to update the Miami Vice piece a little bit, but like you could have this arc now and I think it would be recognized and celebrated as like the message of you shouldn't be with men to get them to like you is, you know, it is evergreen, like it could still be applicable now, and I think it would still be a valuable lesson now, honestly.
Yeah. You're right. It's like everything about this episode is evergreen except for the Miami Vice part. Although I guess they did like bring it back with Channing Tatum and like Jonah Hill or something, didn't they? Oh, no, that was 21 Jump Street. Never mind.
But they did bring back Miami Vice too, I think. And you know what is what's funny is, and it makes sense, I guess, at the time, but like, so there's this guy who's like super into Miami Vice, but then in a later episode, the flu episode where they're at the charity banquet, oddly Don Johnson's jacket is there. Like Don Johnson, I guess, was supposed to make an appearance, but he couldn't. So like it does make sense that in Miami at this time, Miami Vice would come up a lot in your daily life. So
yeah,
good
it's
for
a
them.
Big deal. Exactly. It's true. It's like it's a stretch, but it's also not, you know, which is really funny. Also, I just like love the idea of like, oh, you know, this is a person who like built their life around a television show, which I wouldn't say we have built our lives around it.
Not yet.
It's kind of one of those like, ooh, yeah, exactly.
Don't think I haven't looked at like multi-dwelling options for us in Miami later.
Absolutely. But also on the topic of Miami Vice, like this is interesting because this brings up the sort of origins of a show about older women living in Miami, because it like there was a spoof on Miami Vice called Miami Nice, and it was just a sketch for the NBC promotional program for like their 1984 season, which by the way, they used to do this, right? It's like a reel of like previews for like broadcast TV, which is funny. I mean, you know, they have trailers for video games nowadays. So, I mean, they have everything, but it's just like these advertising teasers. And it was with Selma Diamond and Doris Roberts. And they were, you know, there were like quotes like, oh, it must be about a bunch of old people sitting around playing Pinochle, like that kind of thing. It was just really funny. And I guess like the bug, you know, like that sort of concept caught on. They were like, actually, maybe that's a good idea. So like the working title was Miami Nice for the Golden Girls, which of course they picked a much, much better name. But But I just thought that was funny of like, it's just Miami Vice, like you said, it's so baked in to Miami in this time period. It's like, we got a show. Yeah.
Yeah. Good thing they didn't go with Miami Nice for the real name too, because that's just a parody of Miami Vice. Like what a terrible thing if this amazing show was simply a parody of fucking Miami Vice, who nobody cares about.
Exactly. I mean, people care about it. Ed does, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, I want to get into, obviously, you know, the big part of it. But I also want to maybe start with the B story of the mouse and Rose's experience with Larry the mouse.
A rat!
No, it's more rat talk.
Just a little mouse. Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, Blanche's like, this is also harkening back, before we get to the mouse, harkening back to the whole, like, the transplant where, like, Blanche is freaking out because, like, Virginia's coming and she's putting up, like, 700 floral bouquets and everything. And, you know, Sophia's doing her toes and she's like, this doesn't look very nice. Like, it's just amazing, like, the same exact Blanche, except, again, this character much more to who Blanche is now, because she's more casual about it and it's her niece. It's not a competitive, but you know, she's still trying to make the home look lovely, which is it's a funny callback to see in the same season this character much more closer to what she really would be like in that scenario.
Yeah. And I think that she's much more like, she just wants Lucy to feel welcome and comfortable, and it's not as much like she has to think everything is perfect. So it does feel much more like at ease. But you know, Blanche is showy. Like we've talked about that before. So I definitely think that lines up like all around. Yeah.
But anyway, the rat.
The mouse. Right. So, but it's another callback to Rose sort of being like, you know, a big animal person. And so much so that she like doesn't want Dorothy to get a mouse trap or kill the mouse. Which lines up and lines up, I think, like very well with Dorothy again being like the logical person who's like, we shouldn't have a mouse in the house. I don't understand like why this is a thing we're debating.
Oh my gosh, it's great. And it's also the, it's again a very loose B story again, because the girls obviously come support Blanche when she has to eventually chase after Lucy. But there's, you know, they're very involved in like, again, coaching Blanche on like what, you know, Lucy should be doing, that kind of thing. And it's always weird, like, there's the scene. Can we talk about the scene where like Lucy, we're skipping ahead, but like where Lucy comes back from, you know, her night with the doctor and they went on a cruise and like all this other stuff, and she says she's going out with Michael, and she doesn't tell Blanche. Like Blanche isn't in the on the lanai when she reveals that Michael is a new guy,
right?
and you know, the girls are, again, it's a very like, it's an interesting situation to be in, right? Where you're just like, you want a parent and you want to say it. It's not really your place. It's the same exact idea of slapping, you know, David.
Yeah.
Like where it's like, okay, but like, I think I need to help my friend along here, because there is that, of course, you know, reveal where Dorothy's like, Blanche, this is the second man she's gone away with since she arrived yesterday. And it's just like, she's so, you know, matter of fact, like, okay, I need to help you get her to this place. What was, who says it? Is it Sophia goes, talk to her mother?
Yeah. Well, and Dorothy says it too. And actually, I want to talk about that, because I think making Lucy 20 years old is actually perfect, because she's you know, technically an adult, but it's just, you're basically just like a teenager with more rights when you're 20 years old. Like you're not really an adult, but you are groomed to believe that you are.
Correct.
And so I think that it's really smart to make her that age, because I think Blanche is in a pretty precarious situation, because honestly, like, I don't think she should tell her mother. It's none of her mother's business, like who she's seeing in that context.
Also, who is her mother?
Right.
Is it Virginia Charmaine or like Clayton's wife?
I don't think it, right at this point. Yeah,
because Clayton doesn't exist yet, but you know, we don't know that. It's just one of those things. There's random nieces.
I think it's got to be one of the sisters, because she says like, my sister would never let, or I don't know if she does.
Oh yeah, would your mother let you go? No, then go. Which is very cute.
Yeah, it's like, right, so like I like the established relationship that the aunt and the niece have. I think it's very true to life. I feel like you always have like a cool aunt who let you do things that your mom didn't, who you could talk to about like sex and things like that. So,
right. And like I was saying with that speech, it comes in from being that additional family member that is not your parent to be able to talk to you in a way that like you're not going to hear in the same way if it came from your mom or dad.
Right. Exactly. And I think that the way the other girls react to Lucy, like Sophia is just like, you know, making like so did half of Miami. Like Sophia's like not super.
Girl's a slut.
Right. She's not mincing words. And Rose is, again, a little bit judgy. Like when we were talking about Glenn O'Brien, like she's, which like makes sense. And I think they're all kind of verging on overstepping boundaries at points. But Rose is like, has no compassion, I don't think, or no really even understanding of like why Lucy might want to go out with all of these men. Obviously the big you know, the big reveal is that she is going out with them because she wants them to like her, and it's about like self-worth and stuff, but I don't think Rose even entertains that.
I mean, the closest we get to Rose now is like where she's talking about Tyler's Landing,
flashy fast-paced like, city like Tyler's Landing.
Are you telling a story or performing our town? No, it's great. And it's again, the like towing the line, like you said, of like how, where is the girl's role outside of Blanche to sort of step in and offer advice. But it's interesting too, when you talk about the age and all of them sort of like pontificating on this, I'm like, oh my God, girl's a slut, all that kind of stuff. I think Dorothy, you know, she says like, things are very different these days, right? It's like, it's kind of an interesting line. I don't think they say that often, just because the girls themselves are often, or at least Dorothy representing the collective girls where they eventually get, are like very progressive. And so that line just stuck out at me, because it's just like, oh yeah, they're trying to like, that's another like establishment to remind you that these ladies are older. and at least for me and you watching it when we were younger, it does bring into more of that grandma feel, where they actually could be reflecting on something, going all the way back to like the pilot where Dorothy's like, oh man, these girls with shaved heads and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's really funny, because she just, I don't really know what she's talking about. Things are different these days. I guess she's talking about like instantly falling in love with the guy from the doctor. I'm not exactly sure what she means by that, but it just stuck out to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also very self-aware. I think it's probably just about dating in general. Like, I mean, you know, Dorothy, we assume, has had like some other relationships, but only after Stan, and Rose has only ever slept with Charlie until he died. So I think, like, you know, they, even though they're in the 80s at that time, and it's crazy to be referencing the 80s as like a progressive time, but compared to the 50s or the 40s, like, I'm sure it was very different.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it's interesting.
But so I guess we should really get into, like, Lucy. Oh, Lucy.
Absolutely. The most stunning hunk of masculinity. It's just so funny.
Weird.
So, yeah, I think it's also fascinating, and it's like this whole... I want to talk about even just where you're like, it's more believable that Lucy, the 20-year-old, is meeting these men versus like David making friends with like the kids at the burger joint or like whatever it is. But like, remember David goes, like he like stows away and goes to the Bahamas on the plane. And then she's like flying away with this dude she just met, like literally to the Bahamas. But then also once he gets picked up for drugs, she somehow ends up dating the cop. Like there is a lot of like, if you think it just a little too hard, you're like, even if like she was just this expert pickup artist, that is still a sort of stretch.
And the university interviewer too, like that guy should definitely be fired. Oh right, that's gross.
That's right, that is completely against regulation. Oh my God. She's like, have a feeling I'll be getting in. It's like Blanche being sure that she's got the part in the play, you know? Jesus.
Oh, my God. I think that we talked about this in the intro, but the message of this one is really, really great. And I think is really, like, it's interesting because I think that it was very smart to make Blanche this storyline. I don't think it would work with any of the other girls because, like, you have to be kind of comfortable with sleeping around to deliver a message in a powerful way that's like, I'm doing this because I want to. And I think that that's another thing that can come younger, but I think definitely comes with age, is like, you definitely shouldn't be like dating or sleeping with someone because you want to feel popular and get your self-worth from that. But also, if you want to sleep with people because you just want to do it, that's fine. Like, I think it really does well with the juxtaposition of those two instances, and like, it doesn't miss the mark on that at all.
Absolutely. And that speech, again, the speech that Blanche gives is such great writing, and she lays everything that you just said all out on the table like that. Like, you know, because Lucy even says, like, oh, fine thing for you to say, like, this sounds hypocritical. And she's like, there is a difference, and let me tell you what it is. You know, I'm doing this for me, and this is not, you know, if I'm with a man, it's because I want to be, not because I want him to like me, or because I like him, not because I want him to like me. And it's just, yeah, it's so, I mean, when I'm first watching this episode, I am not anywhere close to dating. And of course, it's like, it's just such an interesting thing to get baked into my subconscious, watching this as a young woman. And yeah, like you said, even having that message where it's like, but if you want to, because you have self-worth and this is your personal desire and not a reflection of how you want other people to see you, fucking do it.
Like, and it's cool. Applicable to dating for sure, but I think it's even applicable to like how some, I am generalizing here, but I do think it's largely some straight girls feel this sense of accomplishment when they are engaged, or like when they, like, you know, get a man to love them, and it's like, you are the prize. I just want you to understand that like, you haven't done anything by getting him to fall in love with you, because you are great. Everyone would fall in love with you.
Right, exactly. Oh my god, and that's so baked into our culture where it's like, oh, finally, like, that there's that there's not an equal partnership, that he shouldn't be as thrilled as you are to get engaged and get married, or like to decide that you're spending your lives together. And it's still so sick. It's so in our culture and everything. And yeah, as a straight woman who has once been engaged to a man, it's like just a weird people say weird shit to you, who really should watch this fucking episode.
Yeah, learn a lesson. Well, it's so great.
But you're right, it's so relevant today, because there is so much of that in our culture still. And you're right, it's like, it applies so much to kind of any interaction with a man, really, for a straight woman, in a lot of ways, right? Because even like in a friendship way, like, a lot of women, especially young women, especially 20-year-olds, like, definitely morph their personalities and their interests to just be like one of the guys sometimes, because they want to be seen that way. And it's like this whole like, quote unquote, anti-feminist movement, only because women don't understand what the word feminist means. But you know what I mean? It's like there's just so much morphing of your personality in general as a 20-year-old man or woman, but especially for women, to be that subservient person. Like you said, you be the person who's is lucky to have, you know, captured this man's attention and whatever.
Yeah. And you know, the man is always Ed. It's like some like loser guy. But I will say, Ed, he's a nice guy. Like, he's forging a friendship with Rose just because they have a common interest. I like it. I wish they continued.
Oh my God. That's the funniest part about all of this, because literally, again, like, holy shit. Like, she has to chase her niece, who she's pretty much responsible for this weekend, is like, to this cop's home. Like, get out of there. You're a baby. What are you doing? Take that girl out of there. It's crazy. But he even's like, oh, you can use my bedroom. Like, I understand. He's like a very sweet man in this like weirdo context of like, get the fuck out of that apartment. I love the character. Like you said, I wish we could see Ed more when we have the million cops show up at the other doors. But he definitely, you know, got kicked out of that apartment like very soon because he can't afford rent. Where he's like, oh man, and talking about Ed and just his love for Miami Vice, where he goes, it's in stereo for Pete's sake. Like, that's like the selling point in 1985. It's my favorite. God. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He is. He's a nice guy. And it is, it's so funny. I talked about this a couple episodes back, and this one, it's not exactly what I was saying before, but this show is so good at breaking up heavy moments with something that's like really funny. And one of those is when I think Dorothy says that Lucy could really use an older sister right now. And, you know, Rose, like, very genuinely is like, if she doesn't already have one, I don't think it's humanly possible.
It's humanly possible. It's really good. And she's thinking so hard, right? She's, like, really trying to be like, I hate to break it to you.
It's like, but, that meme where the woman's, like, thinking of the math equation.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's Rose's face, like, 90% of the time. That's perfect. But even in, I thought you were actually going to say when like Blanche is in, you know, Ed's Miami Vice bedroom talking to Lucy, giving the whole speech, and then they just cut back and Ed, who's, you know, his burgeoning friendship with Rose, is quizzing her on trivia, which of course just reminds me of us. Like he's like, who's the guy, blah, 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 blah. I didn't pay attention to whatever it was. And he just goes, there's no way. And like talks to me, like leans back in glee and like looks at Dorothy. There's no way. And I love it because that's like exactly what we'd be like. Haha, challenge. And she's like, that was Noogie. Better known as Freaks is the Noog Man. And he's like, oh my God, Rose. You know, it's like, this is so hysterical.
Relatable.
And it's, yeah. Well, clearly relatable. Actually, now that I think of it, I'm making fun of Ed for, like, you know, having, like, his Miami Vice apartment. But I definitely have some, like, you know, Blanche's wallpaper, palm leaf pillows in my house. So, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm slowly morphing my apartment into a Lanai.
Yeah, what we hate about ourselves, we make fun of in others.
Yeah, that must be. But, yeah, but I love... there are also a bunch of other lines. We talked about Tyler's Landing and Clell Lander, which is an amazing name. But again, there's a lot more non-St. Olaf stories, right? Like, or St. Olaf stories without them being named as St. Olaf. And I love like the first one she's telling earlier in the episode. And Dorothy just goes, Rose, do you have any idea how weird you are? And it's perfect because it lays it, you know, it lays it right all out, you know, right out. Again, they haven't even established necessarily that Rose is going to be the one telling all these weird stories. Although we've heard a ton so far without actually saying the words of where she's from. But it's just like how you would react in the moment. Like, she's just very bizarre and telling these things completely straight face. So it was a very proper reaction delivered perfectly by B.
There
Arthur,
are so many of those in this episode. I mean, there's the one when Rose is going on and on about how Larry the Mouth saved her life, and they're like, call the exterminator.
The duel.
But the one that I like maybe the most is when Lucy is quoting Blanche and says that like crazy thing about if you've got a stallion, he knows out of your hand.
Best clothes get before you get in the shop.
You said that, Blanche.
Yeah, the way. That intonation is perfect.
It's so good. But then the other thing is that she does that 1-2 thing again, where then she and Blanche are sitting down. She's like, I don't think there's enough sugar left in the bowl.
Right. Yeah.
It's exactly. So good.
It's great. And she's like gently touching her, like picking lint off of her. It's just like a perfect way to deliver that line, just sort of disaffected.
It is great.
It's great. Speaking of lines that don't work, though, there's like a part where Sophia comes into the kitchen and like right before they transition out of a scene, she just opens the fridge and just goes, we're out of milk. What the fuck is that?
I guess I don't know if it's supposed to get like a big reaction or something. It's funny when we're talking about it, honestly.
We're laughing about it because it's so ridiculous. It doesn't tee up for anything. And I think it's like, maybe that's what regular television is like, and we just have such high standards for the show to have every line like somehow connect to something or be purposeful. But I guess it's just like Sophia just leans out of the fridge, goes, we're out of milk, and then it's like it cracks me up every single time. I'm like, okay, that was a little bit of
I feel like they really kind of struggle to figure out where to fit the other girls in a little bit here. Like Rose is fine, like she's present, she's like leading the mouse charge, and Dorothy too is like, you know, going to attempt to reason with the mouse as well. But Sophia's sort of just like floating out there. So maybe they just were like, give her a line about the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're like, I don't know how to end this scene. God damn it. There are also like a couple of moments too where, again, referring to the 1-2, that like the jokes are so dense that like the audience, I guess, are supposed to laugh, but they don't because there's like a breather between jokes. Like there's a the part where Lucy goes where she's like, "Ed arrested Michael, you know, can you believe it?" And she just goes, "Who you think? So you know somebody?" And like, you're supposed to laugh at that, obviously, because it's ridiculous because you do not know these men at all. Little baby 20. But like, you can't, because it's like there's too much dialogue, there's like too much in that moment. I love finding spots like that. You're like, you know, that's a joke, but like there's physically not enough room to like multiple
we gotta pack it all in.
Yeah, exactly. Also the closing, where, you know, with where we actually close up the tiny little mini bee story of the little mouse. I don't know whether I'm so focused on the fact that like Rose is sort of overhearing Dorothy in this whole monologue, or, you know, supposed to be dialogue with the mouse. But I never heard the line where she just goes, she's talking about like, they came in through a hole and you're eating garbage, or, you know, whatever. She's going through this whole thing. And she says, "That's not living, honey." I've never heard that line before. Like, it never registered in my brain.
And it's so great really when funny. Rose walks in and she's like, "Oh, you have the gift." It's so perfect.
It's amazing. Oh gosh. Well, also, from one last thing that I'd love to say about this episode is the 1980s like neon earrings that look like they're made of ridiculous plastic that Lucy wears. I think this is their debut. Blanche may have worn them before, but my god, they show up in every other episode. All right, so next time we're going to discuss the excitement of the Cincinnati Two-Step and Morton's Neuroma. Take care, everybody.